It's that time for us to do something schedule-related. It's the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. We're hanging out here with you until 1 o'clock when Blaine and Mickey take over. We also have updates on Stevie Wonder's blindness.
And Florida man.
And a Florida man whose Hummer exploded.
The most consistent figure of our society, Florida man.
What the hell are we doing today? Like, I came in here. I'm totally prepared. Lucas and Will did a great job last night putting together some informative packets, informational handouts, basically, all things schedule. I was prepared for 3 hours of schedule talk, and now we're doing Florida Man and Is Stevie Wonder Blind on the day after the NFL schedule is released.
You want to take a guess at how Florida Man's Hummer exploded full of gas containers?
I mean, the obvious answer is he lit a cigarette. That's what he did?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
It was the scene from Zoolander where they're showering each other in gasoline and one lights a cigarette.
This guy is really, really putting my patience for humanity. Yeah, refuse medical attention is the key part of that. Like, you know what? Good. You're not worth it at this point.
If we could all find the same consistency in life in anything as Florida Man.
It's a great state, but largely, the people in it are just a raging embarrassment to the rest of the United States of America. Like, I'm very comfortable saying that. I love Florida. I love going to Florida. Well, I don't love going to Jacksonville. That's the only...
Your better half is from Florida. That's where her people are.
She's from Naples. That's correct. But, I mean, the Jacksonville trip I hate. I hate the Jacksonville trip every year.
I don't envy you for that. The city
looks like it needs to sink into the sea. It's always just generally misting, but not like in a way... like Seattle, where it's pure and it's fresh. No, this is acid rain that's basically coming down from the skies in Jacksonville, Florida.
Gasoline rain.
The press box leaks. Leaks. Physically leaked on me and Eric Bacharach's laptops last year. Moisture comes through the cracks of the stadium. And it's probably from that STD polluted pool that they have in, what is it? It's not First Bank. I can't remember the name of the... I can't remember the name of the corporate sponsorships on the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium, but all I know is it's gross. So that's my least favorite trip of the year.
TIAA Bank.
Mikey Dreamer writes in bold prediction, because we're doing bold predictions on the Titans schedule here in just a second. Also, by the way, we are going to be joined by an interesting guest. Drew Butler is a former punter, a former SEC athlete, but now he is advocating on behalf of corporate partnerships with collegiate athletes. Now that name, image, and likeness legislation in Tennessee and eight of the 12 SEC schools will have the ability to let their athletes profit from name, image, and likeness as of 2 days ago. So we'll talk to Drew Butler about that coming up next. But bold prediction for Mikey Dreamer. He says, I'm going to have quite the story after my trip to Seattle. I wonder why that is. What is there? Didn't I say Drew Butler?
Did you say Drew Gilbert?
No, I said Drew Butler. You texted me this morning, Drew Gilbert.
Okay, yeah, we got to get this right.
What do you see? What the hell are you doing back there? Okay. You fake me out with guests that we do or do not have booked all the time. You text me.
When's the last time that happened?
Last week?
Yeah, it probably did happen last week.
It did. And then you text me the name of guests incorrectly. I have to correct you because it's the person who's emailed you about the guest that we're having on instead of the actual guest. And then in my ear, subtly, you correct me when I haven't made a mistake.
Got to keep you on your toes.
What are you doing?
Talk about the schedule.
I got enough to think about over here. Talk about the schedule. All right. 2021 bold prediction for the Titans schedule. 615-737-1045. What is your bold prediction for the Titans schedule? Cousin Caden tweets in, I'm listening from Fort Myers, Florida. It would be nice if it wasn't for the median age being 65. Yeah, that's true too. But all the young people come down at a certain time of year, and then you can frolic amongst people your own age. Anyway, Lucas Panzeca will start the bidding since he's just tried to derail the show six different times today. I'm going to put him on the spot. Lucas, what is the bold prediction that you are willing to make, that you are willing to stake your credibility on? For the 2021 Titans, your bold prediction is what?
Titans drop one against the Texans.
So one of two against the Texans.
There's going to be one Cincinnati Bengals, like last year, type of game where it's a meltdown that you just could not foresee as a loss on this schedule.
Which quarterback is going to beat them for the Houston Texans?
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor?
It won't be the first time.
Do you think he makes it through the season without a team doctor puncturing his lung like he did in Los Angeles?
Yeah, if that's going to happen to him again, it'll be in Houston.
Poor Tyrod Taylor. Every time this man gets an opportunity, some comedy of errors befalls him.
And hey, and maybe it's because the Titans have already clinched and they're playing the Texans to close out the regular season in Houston, week 18, January 9th, and they lose because they're resting a bunch of starters.
I would love to not have to travel to Houston at the end of the year. Why? 3 years in a row with this. Anyway, keep him in line, Lucas, says Danny in the borough. I mean, he's doing his best, but he's doing it poorly, and he's doing it with misinformation. Literally, we are.
Yeah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Caleb Farley, now multimillionaire because he signed his deal with the Tennessee Titans. 4 years, 13 mil and change. All right, for me, and if you would like to give a bold prediction, you can weigh in on the chat. You can give us a call, 615-737-1045. A bold prediction as I look at this Tennessee Titans schedule. So, for me, the biggest takeaway, just generally, that I have is there is not anything that's tougher than the five-game stretch that they have, starting with Buffalo, then hosting the Chiefs, then going to Indy and the Rams, coming home to face the Saints. That's going to be their most difficult stretch. Do you know what the record, and I know you don't, this is a rhetorical question that I'm asking you, but do you know what the record of those teams are off of last season?
The combined record?
The combined record for those five teams. Chiefs, Bills, Colts, Rams, Saints.
They all hit double-digit wins last season, right?
60 and 20, those five teams. Going to be by far and away your most difficult stretch. I am going to say that the Titans are going to come out, and maybe this isn't a bold prediction, but I think it's pretty bold, given that it's their most difficult stretch. I think they're going to come out over 500, 3-2 in that five-game stretch. Now, we've spent a lot of time huffing and puffing about schedule predictions, record predictions, but I think at this point, I am so down on the Colts. I don't understand the hype behind it. I understand that they gave Eric Fisher $9 million coming off an Achilles and he won't be ready for the start of the season to be their left tackle. I understand that they now have several competent rookie defensive ends in Kwity Paye and Deo Odangbo from Vanderbilt to bolster their defense. I understand that they still have DeForest Buckner, who's probably the best interior defensive lineman in football right now. Not Jeffrey Simmons yet. I think he's capable, but right now it's DeForest Buckner. But I'm looking at this and saying their quarterback play nukes this whole thing. There is nothing that Frank Reich is going to be able to do over the course of 6 months waving a magic wand and fixing a broken Carson Wentz. I just don't understand how that possibly happens.
But it'll be harder for Carson Wentz to be worse than he was in 2020 with a better supporting cast.
No, he was. I would make the argument that Carson Wentz was the worst starting quarterback in football last year. He could be a degree better and still suck. The things that are wrong with him, it's like Blaine Gabbert, okay? This is the same way that I'm looking at, because Diana Russini, who was on with us earlier, if you missed any of the podcasts, the Buck Rising Show in your favorite podcast app. Diana Russini was here, and we were talking about broken quarterbacks, and I made the comparison of Carson Wentz and Mariota, given what fundamentally is wrong with them. Or at least the last time that we saw either of them in a starting role, substantial starting role. And I go back to Blaine Gabbert, because Blaine Gabbert was a bit of a fascination for a while, a top 10 pick in the NFL out of Missouri. There was criticism of him coming out of the draft that stated he should not be a top 10 draft pick. His career has been successful, by the way. Blaine Gabbert, by any stretch of the imagination, had a successful career, has a Super Bowl ring, still playing in the NFL. He's back this year with the Bucks. Could get another one. But the problem with Blaine Gabbert, more than anything, was the footwork. The footwork of Blaine Gabbert was not something that he could ever correct. He would panic in the pocket, even if it was clean, happy feet, whatever you want to call it. He would self-sack himself in a way that created negative plays, negative yardage, and bad reads. Carson Wentz has played at an MVP caliber before. Blaine Gabbert never reached any height close to that. So it's not a parallel that I'm trying to draw. I'm just saying that the stuff that I saw that was wrong with Carson Wentz last year, and I am no great quarterback evaluator, I've just seen a few broken ones. Because there's so many more quarterbacks who have not been developed, who have been broken, as opposed to becoming successful NFL players. So many more. The names are countless.
Well, there's a good chance he will be a downgrade to Philip Rivers.
He is right now. That's what I'm saying. They got worse at quarterback, and everybody thinks they're the favorite. This is not Homer opinion by me. This is objective. I'm from the state of Indiana. All my friends are Colts fans. I have no allegiance to the Indianapolis Colts other than the fact that I look like Andrew Luck. Much better looking version, by the way. My hairline is intact and I don't drool. Although his bank account and his intelligence, probably an upgrade over me. That's the closest tie that I have to the Colts. So this is not me coming in here and saying this like I'm some kind of Titans flag waver. Their quarterback stinks. So when we're looking at this toughest stretch, this five-game stretch with Indy, the Chiefs, Buffalo, the Rams, I'm not going in any order right now. Well, I guess I could. Buffalo, Chiefs, at Indy, at Rams, hosting New Orleans. New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback situation right now. As far as I'm concerned, the Colts don't either. And I think that you can split either the Buffalo or the Chiefs game. I think you can come out of that 3-2. And by the way, I think that very much decides if your team is worth a damn or not. Because that is going to be the best opportunity for the Tennessee Titans to be able to prove whether they are legitimate contenders, whether they are legitimate competitors, whether they can actually push for a playoff spot. I think they're capable right now, even as they don't look better on paper. But we'll spend more time talking about this. In the meantime, we're going to divert. We're going to talk a little bit about college sports. Name, image, and likeness. Because this is something that's been passed, signed into law by Governor Bill Lee in the state of Tennessee. Drew Butler, former NFL punter, former Georgia punter, he's going to join us because he's on the inside of all of this stuff. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Got a rotating cast of characters behind the scene. I got Lucas working the phones. Andrew has been successfully manning the board, the music, and everything in between. We are very happy to have him a part of 104.5 The Zone staff. Appreciate you helping out today, buddy. In the meantime, we are going to spend some time talking with Drew Butler, who is here on behalf of Icon Source. Now, there has been something that's been signed into law here in the state of Tennessee, and is name, image, and likeness legislation that will allow collegiate athletes, both men's and women's, to be able to profit off themselves for the first time. Drew, I appreciate you taking some time to make a smarter day. What's up, man?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to speak with you, Buck. All good here in Atlanta. And, man, it has just gone into hyperdrive with July 1st right around the corner. Student athletes are really excited to have the opportunity to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. And universities are spinning their heads trying to figure out how they are going to be able to monitor all this activity.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question that I have in all of this is because the legislation is going state by state at this point. Everybody seems to be getting ahead of the NCAA, at least the SEC schools so far. 8 of the 12 are in states that have signed name, image, and likeness legislation. So if I'm looking at this just from a state of Tennessee perspective, Drew, how does this impact something like college recruiting in the four major universities that we have, Tennessee, MTSU, Memphis, and Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's just exciting to be able to talk to your current student athletes and prospective student athletes and tell them, hey, if you come play collegiate athletics in the state of Tennessee, as of July 1st, the bill that was signed 2 days ago, you'll be able to be compensated off your individual name, image, and likeness. And for a university like Tennessee in Knoxville, look, I went to Georgia. I think college football is better when Tennessee is good and competitive in the SEC. I understand how amazing that fan base is. I've played inside Neyland Stadium. it is a powerhouse when they are rocking and rolling. And using that in recruiting across all different sports, not just football and basketball, the main revenue sports, but all different sports, being able to tell student athletes, you will have the opportunity to engage with brands in our area, whether they're hyperlocal in Memphis, in Murfreesboro, in Knoxville, or regional like Atlanta or the Southeast, or national. If you got a Heisman finalist or a NASIF Player of the Year finalist, they will now have the opportunity to engage with brands, leverage their personal brand, and make money off their individual name, image, and likeness, which is long overdue. But now that it's 2021, now that social media is so prevalent, and obviously everybody points to social media right off the bat because it's the most obvious way as an avenue of compensation, states are doing the right thing by saying, you know what, NCAA, and you know what, federal government, we can't trust you to act swiftly, so we're going to do it on our own and create pressure for you to create federal legislation which will let everybody in all 50 states play by the same rules.
He is Drew Butler. He's the host of Punt and Pass Podcast, also Campus Lore Live. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcasts. I'm fascinated by this discussion, not just for the case-by-case basis that it seems a lot of these things are going to have to be taken on, how the schools go about legislating these things themselves, but what you brought up there with social media followings, at least certainly in high school basketball and AAU basketball, these guys coming out have millions. I mean, in the case of Zion Williamson, obviously millions of followers before he even signs his letter of intent with Duke. But how much does it get into high school versus college once they're on campuses, or is this legislation something that doesn't discriminate that way and allows high school athletes to be able to participate in this as well?
I think that's one of the big things that the federal legislators are trying to figure out. You know, one of the aspects of NIL compensation, and one that everybody can agree to, is they want to stay away from pay to play, meaning boosters or brands are offering high school seniors absurd amount of money to then attend a specific university. You want to stay away from that. Keep in mind, the NCAA wants to allow student athletes to make money off their individual name, image, and likeness, and they want to uphold amateurism. I don't think anybody wants to do away with that either. Those significant individuals, your Joe Burrows, your Zion Williamsons, your Trevor Lawrences, they're going to demand a gigantic amount of dollars when it comes to endorsing, using, and leveraging their personal name, image, and likeness. But what Icon Source does specifically is give that common platform for all student athletes at any school, playing any sport, anywhere in the nation, the opportunity to create a profile and engage with brands, hyper-local brands that support 104.5 The Zone right now. Now we'll have an opportunity to sign up on Icon Source for free and explore the student athletes that can speak authentically to what they represent and create great two-way value for the student athlete and for their small business or local brand. So that's the opportunity we think that the 99% that doesn't get talked about are really going to see an amazing change in what is the biggest change in college athletics in 100-plus years.
How critical is a company, because I know there's many at this point, but like Icon Source, and you've obviously joined up with them to lead their collegiate program, how critical is it that companies like Icon Source are doing what you've just mentioned and trying to basically trailblaze in an industry that we understand the format, we understand the construct, because there is a precedent with professionals, but this is delving into a much, much different and legally more, I guess there's a lot more gymnastics involved, I would imagine, on the high school and college athlete front.
Yeah, no question. And look, I joined Icon Source for a reason, and it's because I was a student athlete, and I know what student athletes are most excited about with this NIL rule change, and that's the opportunity to get paid. Icon Source is a marketplace. We operate independently of the universities. We are agnostic. We come in peace. We're a complement to those education and consulting companies that engage directly with the universities. We're a complement to the brand building and marketing companies that engage directly with the universities. We are a true complement to the disclosure and monitoring services that engage directly with the universities. A lot of the legislation states that if you are in a contractual agreement with the universities, you cannot facilitate endorsement deals for the student athletes. The money has to stay away from the universities. We are agnostic. We love to speak with the universities. We tell them, hey, if you send us your student athletes, if you say and give us your stamp of approval, Icon Source is a secure and transparent marketplace for you to create a profile and engage with brands hyper local to national. You can facilitate your endorsement deals there, actually get paid. Then Icon Source can automatically send all that disclosure information to wherever the university wants us to, so that the student athlete doesn't have to do the heavy lifting of actually filling out this boring disclosure information. What student athlete that has to go to tutors, class, study hall, practice, film session, games, regular college life, wants to carve out 30 minutes to enter in horribly boring disclosure information about a deal they got done for $1,000. We want to provide the student athletes the peace of mind and the confidence to direct brands to find them on Icon Source, actually ensure the transaction on their behalf, make sure that they get paid, and then at the end of the day, they don't have to do any of that because our software technology can automatically send it to wherever the university tells us to disclose it to. That's how we're different. Anybody with basic knowledge of the NIL industry understands that there are major players who directly engage with the universities and catch most of the headlines. We are really tackling what's the most important part here. That's getting the kids actually paid. The rule change is this. Student athletes are now going to be able to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. We're really going to create immense value for student athletes and universities by providing them that information in real time.
Drew Butler is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. You can follow him at Drew Butler on Instagram and Twitter. We're discussing name, image, and likeness, the legalization of it here in Tennessee. Drew, why is it the SEC schools out here on the forefront of this thing? I saw basically it's all SEC states and then New Mexico at this point.
I mean, is it bad if I say it just means more? I mean, these schools really understand the leadership position that they're in. These schools understand how important Saturdays in the fall, when I'm speaking about football, because that's what everybody's pointing to right now, They understand how important that is to their universities. Why was college football pushed through last year and made sure that it was going to happen when we were going through everything last summer with the pandemic? It's because that was vital. College football is vital. It is a lifeline to the actual standing up of the institution. That is not lost on anybody, right? And I think for the leadership position that the NCAA, specifically the SEC, is in, is to say, hey, you know what? We can figure out the way to do this. We can go about it the right way. Nobody is ignorant to the fact that this thing is going to ebb and flow daily. Things are going to change from July 2nd to July 3rd to July 4th when this light turns green. We want to be in lockstep with them and say, hey, we're a software that you can rely on. We can ebb and flow with you. We can change based on what you want to see so long as the legislation allows it. It's just a really exciting time. I'm proud of the SEC. If you look at some of the comments Commissioner Greg Sankey has made, is he's putting pressure on the NCAA as well. And he is supporting the state governors who are signing legislation to say our student athletes deserve the opportunity to get paid off their name, image, and likeness. And we're here to help them do that the right way.
So in that same vein, ebbing and flowing, how big is the conversation around collegiate athletes and their rights to unionize in the middle of all of this? Because I would think that once the concept of unionization comes up, that there would be a substantial bit of pressure on athletes to become a part of that union.
That's a slippery slope. You know, there are over 460,000 student athletes in the NCAA. I played in the NFL for 5 years. I was part of the NFL Players Association. I want to say there are around 1,900 members in the union for the NFL Players Association. And those negotiations are tough with the CBA and the 32 owners. There is just so much that goes into creating a union, being a part of a union, which costs money, becoming an employee of an employer, which then could your full scholarship get taxed? It is a slippery, slippery slope. And again, I think it's important to remember the NCAA wants to maintain amateurism. I think if you told the majority of these student athletes who are 18 to 22 years old what really goes into being in a union, annual dues, becoming an employee, having everything that you are deemed as income be taxed on, I think they might step away from that conversation and say, hey, you know what? this is pretty gravy. I understand that I can get compensated for my individual name, image, and likeness. I do know that I will get taxed on that income. But if my full scholarship isn't taxed and I'm not considered an employee of the university, that is not a bad deal. The important thing is this. Take the first step, and the first step is just that. Let's get these kids paid off their individual name, image, and likeness. However it evolves 1, 2, 5, 10 years from now, you can add on to that. But I would highly recommend that these student-athletes kind of slow their roll when the talks of unionizing come into effect. That is something that I think would take tons of education.
Drew Butler here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're discussing Tennessee and the name, image, and likeness legislation that has been passed in this state and 15 others. Drew, what's one question for the audience? Because this is a conversation that I think is that is going to take a great deal of nuance, a great deal of understanding how the whole process works, and even then there may be some things that slip through the cracks informational-wise. What is one question that I didn't ask you today that I should have?
Well, I think it's important for all fans of college athletics to understand is this. This is not the universities paying the student-athletes. It's not. The money has to stay separate from the universities. These are student-athletes who are able to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. It's what they've earned. You know, they deserve this opportunity. And what we're telling these student-athletes now, as thousands sign up on Icon Source in preparation for July 1st, is to get ready. You know, you are athletes. You don't show up to a competition and not practice. We want you to be ready on day one so these brands can engage with you and get you paid. Whether it's a $50 deal or a $50,000 deal, it has to be done the right way. And these are brands who want student athletes to authentically speak on their behalf. And I think it will create immense two-way value. So if any student athletes are listening right now, if any coaches of student athletes are listening right now, head on over to iconsource.com. Check out our platform. It is going to be the Excedrin for compliance as headache, because we will give your student athletes a safe, secure, and transparent platform to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And then we will automate that deal information in real time to compliance and disclosure to make sure that they are able to continue to play and their eligibility is not affected. It's an exciting time. I think the cons, for whatever reason, I guess it's just the world we live in, get a lot of the media play, but the pros of NIL compensation heavily outweigh the negative side. And I think that's why state governors are stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, you know what? Let's do it now. It's time to get these kids paid.
One more question for you, Drew, on the way out the door. What is the marketplace like for companies like Icon Source? Like, what is the level of competition among competing interests there? Because I find that very interesting.
Yeah, you know, with our unique position, we've gone about it in a way that we haven't necessarily seen anybody do. And especially when you go back to when Icon Source was founded in 2019, professional athletes, the top agencies in the country, and very high-profile brands do deals on our platform on the professional side every single day. Our team is extremely qualified with years and years of sports marketing and sports business experience. We're not stepping into this thing because, hey, this is a brand new industry and we want to capitalize. We are simply transforming and opening up a brand new platform to one that we already do a lot of work at on a daily level with professional athletes and saying, guess what? We have the platform. We have the solution that will work in the right way. We keep seeing headlines saying, I saw Auburn's athletic director quote that today, if anybody knows how NIL is going to get done, please raise your hand. We're raising our hand. We have the solution for you. We can provide that platform for your student athletes to facilitate endorsement deals the right way and then give you all that information without conflict of interest, without conflict of legislation. And for athletic departments, it's totally free. So it's a win, win, win. And we're really excited with the momentum that we have going on Icon Source.
At Drew Butler is where you can follow him. Icon Source is the company. They are helping get collegiate athletes involved in this name, image, and likeness gold rush that is essentially going to be taking place across the country as soon as the NCAA gets their stuff in gear. Drew, we really appreciate you taking some time and helping us understand a little bit more of this complex marketplace that is name, image, and likeness. Hopefully, we'll be able to chat again soon about this after July 1st gets rolling.
Sounds great, Buck. Appreciate the time. You have a great rest of the week.
Drew Butler. Here with us on 104.5 The Zone. That is a fascinating, fascinating conversation. Because I have to think that there are so many different, and what Drew is saying there is that Icon Sources is basically alone in the marketplace, maybe locally, maybe nationally. I don't think we necessarily made that clear. But just companies like Icon Source who will now be pulling at the interests of student athletes, I think that gets really, really complicated. And then what is the parents' role? Because, of course, there would be some kind of discretionary role that the parents would have to have in the new finances, potentially tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in the case of, you know, some of these college AAU basketball superstars, social media superstars, how they go about divvying it up, basically. It becomes super complex. I don't know how much, this definitely takes a little bit of, college sports have never been a pure concept. College sports have always been tinged in this kind of financial background, backdrop. But it's always been done behind closed doors. Now we're opening it up and making the business side of college sports much, much more public. I don't know how people feel about that, but I'd be willing to take their reaction. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. We'll talk about it coming up next, and we'll update the polls. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. I feel like I'm going to a grade school dance. What is going on with the music today? Who do I yell at? Do I yell at Andrew or do I yell at Lucas? Who is responsible?
Oh, I could so easily pass the blame to Andrew, but no, it's me.
Yeah, what is happening? What's gotten into you?
Is it or is it not Thirsty Thursday? What do you want from me?
It is Thirsty Thursday, but like, hot damn, this is my jam?
Yeah, look,
what are you doing?
You're the one that immediately knows the song based on the beat.
Yeah, because it's like the soundtrack to every grade school mixer that I went to. Is that Black Eyed Peas? Who is that?
Flo Rida.
Ugh. Yeah, that's right. The Black Eyed Peas could not be responsible for any such atrocity. And yet Flo Rida's just looking at me from a mountain of money laughing because we're playing his jams.
He dominated the, I guess what, right before 2010, like 2007 through 2012?
No,
like
I mean,
those 5 years?
Yeah, 2012, because I remember Flo Rida still being a thing at like when I went to prom in high school, and my senior prom would have been 2012.
Yeah, like the song Low, which is probably his biggest hit, was my sixth.
No,
grade.
I think my house really blew it out of the water, which is so stupid.
I think like
it's just him singing over and over, "Welcome to my house, come on in."
Oh yeah,
that's all it is. Millions, him and Pitbull.
Amazing what happens when you make terrible music.
Yeah, as long as it's catchy. Anyway, you know what else is catchy? What Rip Bryan put together to make our show sound much better. It's time for Lucas Panzeca to update the polls.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Panzeca.
Is it ridiculous that we have the Titans schedule before the Preds playoff schedule? We do now have the Preds playoff schedule, but this morning and last night, we knew who the Titans at what time and what day were playing in January of 2022 before we knew what time the Preds were playing on Monday. 72% say yes.
Yeah, that's right. All you hockey zealots, all you trolls in my mentions, why don't you talk more about hockey? Your league doesn't even want to get close to the NFL schedule release for the playoffs, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. So you mouth breathers that'll come after me on Twitter when I don't talk enough puck. Your league, the mothership, doesn't want anything to do with the NFL schedule just to get the playoff series out there for the Stanley Cup. It's embarrassing.
Ridiculous we had to wait that long. But we know now the Preds play in Carolina Monday, 7 p.m. puck drop.
Yeah.
What Titans game are you most excited for? We've kind of went over a lot of these. Kerry says all of them. V-Love said the LA Rams, Sunday Night Football. A lot of people saying the Bills, Monday Night Football. I'm just glad none of these primetime games are division opponents.
Yes, because that is, I mean, I guess if you're a Titans fan, last time you were on primetime against a divisional opponent, you got pants.
It's ugly.
So you don't want that to happen again in front of a national TV audience.
Nick Neiman says Kansas City, last time we played them at home, it was an epic game.
That was wild.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favorite games that I've ever covered because you had the blocked, blocked field goal by Josh Kalu. You had Rashawn Evans' fumble recovery, scoop and score. And it took all of that to beat Patrick Mahomes, who still had 500-plus yards of offense on a bad knee. It took all of that.
Matt says the season opener against Arizona is kind of spicy. That is an intriguing matchup right out the gate.
They're favored by 2.5. I don't think I'd bet the Titans on that.
The Titans like are Arizona. Favored.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Andy says the Super Bowl.
Oh, what? For the Titans? Okay. All right, bud. Go get them.
Actually, a couple people say the Super Bowl.
Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, gosh.
Let me look that up. What's the next poll?
Are you for or against name, image, and likeness? 87% are for.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you? So who are the what is it? 16% then?
13.
Oh, I heard the wrong
number. 100 minus 87 is 13.
Shut up. I heard the wrong number in my head. So the 13% who don't want college athletes to make money, why? Just somebody explain that.
Nobody was willing to show themselves in the replies.
Cowards. I just don't understand the argument against. It's an open marketplace. Would you want a cap on that? Anybody listening to this radio show, would you be somebody who wants a cap on how much money you can make? You personally, would you be comfortable with some kind of institution that prints billions with a B off of your back? Would you want that same institution to not just cap how much money you could make, but to straight up tell you that you couldn't make any money? You as the labor, you as the product. What is that? Oh, Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles.
Oh, that'd SoFi. Nice. That's right.
615-737-1045, I guess. People are calling in. Do we want to get people involved, or do we just want to keep rolling with the polls? All right, let's do that.
Have you gotten gas yet? 57% say no, 43% say yes.
Yeah, Lucas barely got it.
Got it this morning.
I filled up on Wednesday morning because I was blissfully unaware because there wasn't a gas shortage in the state of Tennessee until a bunch of idiots caused a gas shortage in the state of Tennessee.
Bellevue was barren last night. Like, I was driving around at 11:30 at night, finally found on the Gas Buddy app a station that allegedly had gas. My roommate and I pull in. As we are pulling into the gas station on Bellevue Road, the lights all shut off.
Why are we like this as a society? We had to have, I can't remember what the organization, the government department that had to tweet out yesterday, please don't fill up plastic bags with gasoline. It doesn't work.
No gas bags.
And especially don't cart them around in your vehicle. And if you're I almost said a bad word into the microphone that I can't say, but if you're the idiot in Florida who loaded up 4 5-gallon containers of gasoline in Citrus County into his Hummer. By the way, who the hell is still driving a Hummer in 2021?
Florida people.
God. Literally out of the swamp.
It's a long, hard hour of filling up just ridiculous amounts of containers of gasoline, going home on a nice 20-minute drive, light a cigarette, relax a little
bit. Thank God you found a way to land the plane there. Long, hard hours of filling, phrasing. Get it together back there. What is wrong with you today? You're off your game.
Oh, I'm sleep deprived. I was looking for gas all night.
Yeah, driving around at 11:30 at night, just completely and totally panicked because you had no gas in your car.
In a delirium, just looking for gasoline.
I'd have driven a radio board to your house in Bellevue for you to run the show remotely.
It was something about it. Like, I'm driving around Bellevue for so long thinking there's no way I'm going to find gas in downtown Nashville. And then quick and easy, right next to the closest gas station to the radio station, right off Broadway, plenty of gas.
You know what? It's just because there are stupid people who read one news headline, didn't bother to check the states.
Oh, people did hack the pipeline, though.
Yeah, but it didn't affect the state of Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia.
Yeah, it was very much exacerbated by people filling up bags of gasoline.
Because we're stupid and we don't read past the headline. Read past the headline. It's not that hard.
And how is the Colonial Pipeline hackable? That's concerning.
I mean, the same way that there was a small town in Florida, I can't remember which one, but like the water treatment plant got hacked. Because we're stupid. We're not buttoned up on the technology side of things. We're just doddering around waiting for somebody to completely and totally hack our government infrastructure from across the seas, some Russian nerd sitting in his apartment in Moscow without pants in his parents' basement, out here hacking the Colonial Pipeline because we don't got our stuff together,
causing Hummers to explode.
That's again Darwinism.
Yeah, that's on Florida Man.
You know, I'm glad the guy made it through. I'm baffled by the idea that he wasn't interested in medical attention after the fact, because the idiot lit a cigarette with not only sitting on a giant machine filled with gasoline.
He was probably covered in gasoline.
Filled with just fumes, certainly. Fills up 4 5-gallon containers of gasoline in his Hummer that probably, I don't know what the size of a Hummer tank is. Probably anywhere from 15 to 20 gallons of gas. Fills this up, fills the four containers of 5-gallon gasoline cans up, then lights a cigarette in the car. How are we this dumb? That's the only way that I can end the radio show today. Evolution. At some point, you think it's going to take over. I feel like societally we're devolving. But what is hopefully going to elevate the conversation is Blaine and Mickey. They're going to keep the sports talk here on 104.5 The Zone rolling for the next 2 hours. Me, I'll talk to you tomorrow live from Pine Creek Golf Course in Mount Juliet with Coach Mack. See you then.